everyone. This is Robert Schubank, and you are listening to All Things Being Equal, a show produced by the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired / Radio Reading Services. So welcome. And we are going to talk about the end of life and how we should plan as people with disabilities for when we get older with ourselves, our friends, our families. You know, have everybody involved in this process. I am 54 right now, and my mother's 80, and she is going through the process of transitioning from, you know, being physically able to do everything on her own to where now she's in a nursing home. She has difficult walking. She has difficult remembering things. So, you know, we're in the process of starting to help her plan for the future. You know, my sister is going to be the power of attorney and be in charge of all her financial and medical decisions. So, you know, we don't think about this when we're young. We don't think about, you know, things that might occur as we get older. Sometimes until it's too late. So I just would like to encourage everyone to have these conversations with their loved ones, with their kids that are grown. And hey, you know, let's set up someone to help me make decisions when I get older, because we're all going to get older at some point. You know, my co-host, he's 78, 79, or 77 years old. And, you know, he'll tell you straight from his own mouth, it's time to make decisions. You know, he's made plans for his son to take over some things and support him in, you know, making good, sound medical decisions and financial decisions. So this is something that's very important and intends to escape us, because it's hard to talk about death and dying and losing loved ones. You know, it's not a easy thing for lots of people. You know, but it's nothing to be scared of, because we're all going to transition, you know, eventually, when none of us are going to live forever. Those people who've lived to be 100, you know, they're blessed to live that long. I always say that I don't have no problem with getting older. You know, as long as I'm in my right mind, I'm good. You know, but when I get to the point where I don't remember loved ones, you know, it's time to get support from my kids or sister, you know, my wife if I'm married. You know, you gotta let other people support you. Because they always say, we're gonna go back from where we came from. And what they mean by that is, when we were born, we were babies, we were helpless. We need a support. And we're going to get back to that point where we're going to start drooling and we're going to need our diapers changed and we'll go back to being a kid again. You know, that's just the circle of life. You know, you're born, you go through life, go through all the different stages, and then we come back to the infant stage where we need all this help and support. So it's important that we plan ahead. You know, for a long time, I was not a planner. I always shot from the hip and did things as they came up. But that works for so long. But it gets to a point where you have to think about planning for the future. You know, when you get married or, you know, a relationship, if you don't plan things out, it can be very stressful and confusing and irritating. It's so much better when you can plan things and take care of things ahead of time so you don't leave a burden on your loved ones and your friends. You know, you already know everything taken care of. And it just lessens the frustration and passing is supposed to be a good thing, not a bad thing. You know, I have friends who have lost their children for whatever reason. And, you know, you never get over the loss of a child. You just learn to cope. And you have good days and bad days. I remember when I was 21. You know, I was very young. And I lost my father, and we had issues, my father and I, when I was a kid. But now that I was an adult, we were beginning to build some kind of relationship. And then all of a sudden he fell asleep and never woke up. And that was devastating for me, because I wanted that relationship. But later on in life, you know, I had got some therapy shortly after that, probably 6 to 8 months after. Some grief therapy, which helped me understand the process of grief. You know, you feel anger, you feel frustration, you're sad, you're all over the place emotionally. But understand, we have to go through that. And it will get better, it will get easier. You have to have a positive outlook on the passing of a person. You know, whether it's your child, your mother, your father, sister, brother. Remember the good times. Don't remember all the bad stuff, the arguing and the, you know, things that made a person think about the things that made a person who they were. And it'll help you get through that grieving process. And I don't have the processes in front of me, but I know, you know, you feel the anger, the sadness, the guilt, the you struggle with. It's never gonna get better. But it will, I promise you. you know, and you come out a better man or woman, you know, and it helps to talk about the person that passed away. You know, some people think, you know, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about what happened. But if you talk about it, I guarantee you, one, you will feel better in time. And two, your grief that you're going through can help somebody else go through theirs as well. And that's important. Share your experiences, your challenges, your frustrations. It's cool to be private, but there are times when you need to share with others to heal yourself. And it's be a blessing to others by sharing your experiences and walking with them through their grief, pain, and suffering. Hopefully my co-host will be here shortly and he can give you his point of view on loss and grief and some of the challenges that we face. I was on my phone, my iPhone, a couple days ago. And I noticed that there were some apps that deal with mental health issues. And loss and grief has a mental health aspect to it. You know, because you could go through bouts of depression, and sometimes prayer and meditation, just sitting in a room with soft music and wonderful fragrances, and just taking time to center oneself can be a blessing in disguise. So it sounds like Mr. Harris is here. So when he gets ready, we will pass it on to him. Because he is an older person and he feels and knows the importance of planning ahead.
Hello, everyone. I'm joining Robert Shoemake here, and the program is All Things Being Equal, and he's already been discussing quite a bit of what we wanted to talk about, not only for today, but probably ongoing. You know, Robert, can you tell me where, because I didn't hear it all, so I know what you were talking about, because we had talked about this before. And it's an ongoing issue with most of us, if not all of us, because, Robert, I don't know if you had a chance to tell everyone, but I'm 77 going on 78, you know, and I've been disabled literally for 77 years because the doctors gave up on me in 1946 when I was only 8 months old, not 8 years old, but 8 months. So I was not even a year old, and they said I would be dead in 3 days. And so I'm thanking God, saying hallelujah, because it's been 77 going on 78 years. And were you able to tell them how old you are?
Yes, I was, and I was telling them about, you know, how important it is to play in while we're still in our right minds and still young and viable to play for the end of the life. Because we're all going to pass away at some point. And I was sharing that, you know, we're in this process with my mother. And because she did not play it ahead, you know, now we're at the point where we're trying to run around and get her birth certificate and sell her house and all kinds of things. Because she's in a nursing home. She wants to stay there. So, you know, that might be the last place she lives. So, you know, you gotta think ahead before anything happens. The worst thing to do is wait until it happens.
You know, I understand and I agree. And at 77, I thank God that I've been thinking about this for some time. Because my mother and my father have passed on. My dad, he died when he was 82, but he was 11 years older than my mother. And he was born in 1910, you know, and my mother lived to be 84, but it's actually even longer than that because she died about 15 years ago now. And so it's been a while. And now I have a son who's now a whopping 41 years old, you know, and he is in great physical, mental, emotional, spiritual health. But he's 41 years old. So, and my wife, she died, 37 years almost. Well, actually, it was 37 years ago. And so I know what it's like, and I also know what it's like to raise a child by myself because I did that with my son when he was born. And I was thanking God because my mother was able to live long enough to see him become a teenager, graduate from high school, and then she died. And I'm still here, and he has a house now because my late wife and I, we thought about planning, and we planned for him to get a good education, so we make sure he was educated well, and he was educated through the Montessori system, and so he literally the Montessori kid. His preschool Montessori, grade school Montessori, high school Montessori, he was in the first graduating class in Cincinnati that had a public Montessori school. And so he went on to graduate from Cincinnati State, which is so funny because I graduated from Cincinnati State before there was a Cincinnati State. I'm an old guy, and so I graduated from Cincinnati State when it had the name of Central High School, and that's how long I've been around. Central High School, and then it became Quarter Tech, and then Clyde B. Quarter, and then later on it became Cincinnati State, and it's still Cincinnati State, but it was a high school. It's now a college.
And if you ever go to Cincinnati State, and in the hallways, they still have the lockers, yes, like they do in high school.
And I've gone over there and visited a few times. In fact, I took some courses at Cincinnati State, you know, and but I graduated from the Giphart's Art School, which just disappeared. It just kept on going. And then I went on and studied at Cincinnati University, at the university there. And I have not a bachelor's degree, but I did several, went there for about 2 years studying intaglio, which is printmaking, in like the College of Art there. And so I have rounds with all kinds of schools. 3 years of Giphart's Art School, and 2 years of study with DAP. So I am just a fairly well educated. Plus, I went on and was art director for Time Warner Cable for 4.5 years, worked for the Army Corps of Engineers, worked for the zoo. And so I have a pretty well-rounded education and worked for the Cincinnati Human Relations Commission for a little over 12, 13 years and with the National Conference of Christians and Jews for 12 or 13 years. So I've been around a long time, Robert. I helped to create the Americans with Disabilities Act. In fact, I just watched over last weekend a program that was on produced by Judy Heumann, who knew, in fact, I did too. I knew President Barack Obama. And but she got a nice little piece from him because he helped sponsor the program that she actually produced. I don't know if she wrote it or not, but she certainly was featured in it talking about the early days of ADAPT and other organizations that chained themselves to buses and whatnot. And I was around during that period of time myself. And in fact, I just got off of the board of SORTA just about 2 weeks ago. And I was on SORTA's board for over 20 years, helping to bring about the Americans with Disabilities Act, SILO. That's over 40 years ago. I helped to create SILO. You were around during those days, you know, and we've done many, many things together. And one of the things that I hope we do a continuing program on is simply the fact that, as you said it, we all get old, and sooner or later, we will all die, or at least from this life. I, like you and other people, I plan to live forever in some form, you know, not necessarily in this human form, but I plan to live forever shouting around God's throne in the New Jerusalem. That's my spiritual background and spiritual belief. And so I'm just happy to be on this show. And folks, can I give them your number? You want me to give them my number if they want to email me or email you?
I can give them both of them.
Okay, sure. My email is harris.robertlee@gmail.com. Please email me or Robert Shoemake, and he'll give you his number in a second, so that we can continue the conversation on end of life, the conversation on afterlife, and the conversation that's even more important is how to live life now, because we're alive, folks. You know, there was a play, I can't remember the name of it, but one of it was a comedy play, and it was performed at the Aronoff. And one of the lead songs was, because it was during the time of the plague in Europe, and as they would come, as they would send out the death carts and holler out, "Send out your dead, send out your dead." And in this case, the actors, they were supposedly dead, and so they got off of the gurneys and got out of the people's hands and said, "We're not dead yet." And they would sing a little song called, "You're Not Dead, We're Not Dead Yet." And so that's the way I want us to be, and that's the way we need to think in terms of, "I'm not dead yet, and I'm not going to stop until I die. And I plan to live forever. And in the meantime, if I don't live forever, I'm going to enjoy my life right now and do all I can do to make life happen, not only for me, but for my son, for your sons, plural, you know, and for yourself and whomever else comes along after us. You know, right now, my son and I, we celebrated his grandfather, my father, who was an artist, Raymond Harris. And we had a 3-day celebration at the Pendleton Art Center. And it was good. And that's just our first show that we're going to do. We're going to do some more in Yellow Springs, where my dad lived, and some other places until we can get his artwork. And I have over 20 pieces of his work, and some of them are masterpieces because one of them is almost 8 feet tall. It's almost as big as a door. It's about the size of a regular door. And it's so that means it's life size. It's 8 feet. And so I'm just happy that I was able to start that in my lifetime. My son may or may not finish it. I hope he does. I hope he lives a long time and can finish it. You know, Robert, again, I just want to encourage people to write us and tell us what they want in any of their stories, if they want us to continue this whole program and discussion on living long and enjoying life and learning how to be, having a plan for your future and the plan for your children and your children's children, or just simply planning for yourself, because not all of us are going to have children, you know, and we just keep on keeping on. It's time for us to go. I'm getting the signal that we're out of time. Folks, I am so glad and thankful that I was here to say hi and bye to you and give you a little bit of my take on what it's like to live long and to prosper. And so, Robert, back into your hands to close this out. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robert, for all your insights, experience, and we appreciate everyone for tuning in to All Things Being Equal. Be blessed, like Dr. Spock said, live long and prosper.
All right.